Can I hear a better amen? Matthew chapter 4 verse 10. Jesus said, thy kingdom come. 4:9. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in the earth as it is in the heavens. Your prayer is, Lord, let my life reflect what is in heaven. Let my life reflect what is in heaven. Anything that does not depict heaven, let it get out as your word comes forth. Can you open your mouth and begin to pray? The Bible said, he sent his word, the word took off, the word removed everything that does not represent heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done just as it is in the heavens. Shakato, Shaketeketia, Leparakayata, Shotokaya, Shenanabosata, in the name of Jesus. Let me hear better, amen. Under the grace and anointing of my Father, I pray, anyone here tonight, you will never go with anything that does not represent heaven. In the name of Jesus, heaven is stepping into your case. Heaven is stepping into your case. Heaven is coming into your case. In the name of Jesus, as the spirits answer to my Father when he speaks, I speak now. Every spirit that is not of God, check out now. In the name of Jesus, check out now. In the name of Jesus. If you believe that, can you shout, celebrate with club? You can jump if you want to jump. You can yata by a shutter. Life is in this house. Tell somebody, life is in this house. Hallelujah. Celebrate Jesus once again, please. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Tell someone, you are welcome to church. First of all, I want to thank our Father for the honor that he gave to us, the students of School of Ministry, to be a blessing to the Koinonia family. That we say thank you. All of us, we say thank you, sir. Praise God. Hallelujah. We have a theme that we are working with, and we want to let us know who we are as children of God. We are looking at saviors. Tell somebody, you are a savior to your generation. Tell the next person, you are a savior to your generation. Obadiah chapter number 1, verse 21. And saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the mount of Israel, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. It is God's desire that the kingdoms of the world become his, because in the first place, he's the creator of everything. So it's God's heinous desire that all kingdoms become his. And here, scripture shows to us that when saviors rise, then the kingdoms will move to God. Only until saviors rise, we can step into nations and pull them from the hand of the enemy and then bring them to our Lord and his Christ. So who is a savior? Number one, a savior is simply a deliverer. Savior is an agent of deliverance from God to men. Number two, savior is a rescue agent from heaven. One thing I saw while I was studying is that a savior is a man who comes from God as an answer to the cries of men. A man who comes from God as an answer to men when they cry to God. If you read through the Bible, especially the journey of the children of Israel, at every time that they are in captivity, they will cry to God. At every time that oppression comes, they will cry to God. At every time they're in bondage, they will cry to God. And the answer of God is that He sends a man. Can I tell you, that method has not changed. Anytime there is chaos, anytime there is oppression, the answer from God is a man. It hasn't changed. When a generation is going down, the answer of God to man is a man. That's the system of God in reaching to us. When the world was in dire need of salvation, God did not come as a spirit. God came as what? He came as a man. Because that's the system of God. If you go through the scriptures, you see men that God used at different times, different generations. Let's take a look at some of them. Examples of saviors. First is Moses. One day, Moses was taking up his own business. He was just going. A shepherd, taking up on his assignment. But suddenly, because of the cries of men, Israel was crying. More than 300 years, they have cried to God. And God said, now I want to answer them. And one day, suddenly, God invaded a man. God will invade someone tonight. You are not saying a better amen. God will invade Barato Kishataya. God will invade someone tonight. The Bible says, suddenly, God appeared. And he spoke to Moses. He said, I have seen the affliction of my people. And God said, there's something that I loved in that scripture. He said, I am come down. But God cannot go to save a man. It takes a man to save a man. God said, I am come down, but I'm sending you. God sent him to save them. Moses was a savior. How about David? Goliath stood before Israel 40 days. An uncircumcised Philistine. He put everyone down for 40 days. Saul couldn't come out with armies that he trained. But there was a shepherd boy. I don't know why God loves shepherds. Because he is himself, Jesus, the shepherd of our soul. He came to a young man in the bush. He brought him. He said, who is this man? Who is this man that is stepping the boundaries to stand before the God of Israel? You know the story. The next thing was that Goliath was down. Every Goliath that have stood before you, and Mayatu Sekataya, and they have said, you will not go out. They have locked you up. Today, I declare, every Goliath is coming down. Goliath of sickness is coming down. Goliath of every form of barrenness is coming down. In the name of Jesus. Tonight, I stand as a David, a young man called by God. I declare, every Goliath comes down now. In the name of Jesus. Still David. The Bible said David came to his town one day. He went out as a man of war. And then he came back. Suddenly everything gone. His wife gone. Children gone. Properties gone. Amalekite invaded them. Woo! David cried. Men do cry. David cried. He cried. But saviors don't cry for long. Saviors don't cry for long. He turned to God. Said, what do I do? God said, pursue. Overtake. Recover all.
I don't know who is pursuing tonight. If you are the one, say, I am the one. You will recover all in the name of Jesus.
The Bible said in 1 Samuel chapter number 17, verse 18, David rescued all. 1 Samuel 30, 17. I beg your pardon. 30, verse 18. 1 Samuel 30, verse 18. And David recovered all the Amalekites has carried away. And David rescued what? His two wives. Saviors and rescuers. Praise God. Hallelujah. I wrote here, I said, men are still the channel of God to men. Is that true? Preach that to someone. Men are still the channel of God unto men. Now we now come to the New Testament. The Savior of all, Jesus. Matthew said, he shall save the world from their sins. He came as a Savior. John 3:17 said, he came to save the world. But now this is the big one. When Jesus was done with his assignments, there's something he did. In John chapter 20, verse 21, he said, my peace I leave to you, the Spirit of peace. And then he said, as my Father sent me, even so I sent you. You know what he was saying? He said, go and deputize me. Go and be a Savior in my name. We are the saviors of our world today. How many of you believe that you are the savior of this world? Why do we need saviors? Number one, because the world is in darkness. Why do we need saviors? The world is in darkness. Isaiah 60 said that to us. That the world is what? Is in darkness. And that gross darkness is upon the people. It takes saviors to bring this world out of darkness. There's one scripture that makes me always happy. And that's Matthew chapter 4, verse number 16. The Bible said the people that were in Zebulun and in Naphtali, they saw a great light. The people which sat, it means they have been in darkness for years. There was a prophecy about them. And then suddenly Jesus appeared. You know, the funny thing I see in that scripture is that Jesus did not even pray. All he needed, if you read up from verse 13 down, all he needed was to appear. All Jesus needed was to what? The Bible said he came into Capernaum. As he entered the city, the people that were in darkness saw what? A great light. Today, you will not need to speak before things will happen. Oh, you better say amen to that. When you leave here and go to your house, everything that represents darkness is coming down. You only need to step in because you have come from Mount Zion. As you enter like Jesus, the people that were in darkness, they saw the great light. And those that were in the region of death, the Bible said light sprang forth. They will never again see death around you in the name of Jesus. Number two, as I begin to run, why we need saviors? The world lieth in wickedness. 1 John chapter 5 verse 19. The Bible said the world lies how? In wickedness. Oh man, we have come to real wicked men. The sons of Esau, they are wicked. Wickedness is increasing. And so we need what? Saviors. Number three, why do we need saviors? Because of the contention of the sons of Esau. The sons of Esau are taking over nations and territories. and the sons of Jacob. That's what we saw there. He said upon Mount Zion, there will be what? Deliverance. And the sons of Jacob shall do what? There is possessions waiting for the sons. But the sons of Esau, they are sitting on the mountains of influence over nations. And they are saying, we are going nowhere. But today, every son of Esau is coming down. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16, talks about Esau and his children. The Bible said they are profane people. That means they are people who do not have respect and reverence for God. Those in the world that do not reverence God, they are what? The sons of Esau. And you know, in our world, every sphere you will see them. Is that true? But today, we stand to say, no more! No more! Saviors are rising from this house. In the name of Jesus. Let me rush the next few minutes. The qualities of a savior. Qualities of what? A savior. Number one, saviors are men and women of knowledge. Saviors are men and women of what? Of knowledge. I wrote here three kinds of knowledge they possess. Number one, they have the knowledge of God. That's the first thing Moses did. When God came to Moses, in Exodus chapter 3, verse 13, Moses said, when I go to them and they ask me, who sent you? What am I going to? He was asking God, please let me know you. They have knowledge of God. Number two, they have knowledge of who they are. Saviors are men who know who they are. Men who understand their identity. Our father taught us in school of ministry about five basic questions that every man must ask himself. And number one is, who I am. They know who they are. Number three, they have the knowledge of who they are in Christ. Saviors, they have the knowledge of who they are in Christ. And then the fourth knowledge they possess is that they have knowledge of the oppression of men. When God came to Moses, the first thing he told him was the oppression of what? Israel. He gave him the knowledge of what was happening. So saviors are men that are aware of what's happening. I believe you know what is happening in the world. And if you know, it means God is telling you, you are a savior I'm sending. Because it's the knowledge of what's happening about the people that are oppressed that compels compassion in the heart of saviors. And they go out for men. Today I pray, everyone in this place, we will not rest until the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God. Hallelujah. Finally, why does God raise saviors? Why? Because everything God does has a purpose. Is that true? Has a purpose. It's simple. The purpose why God is raising us is so that there will be kingdom takeover and kingdom advancement. So that there will be what? Kingdom takeover and then kingdom what? Advancement. Thy kingdom what? Come. Thy kingdom what? Come. That is still the message of today. That is the message of tomorrow. That is the message we will preach until Jesus will what? Come. Thy kingdom what? Come. Saviors will rise and the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and what? Is Christ. Please rise up on your feet. You are going to pray. Oh God, make me one of those you are picked to save my generation. Can you turn that into prayer, please? Please open your mouth and begin to pray. Father, Shananda Kotobodosh, Shilanana Kasketata, Shananemos. Are you praying tonight? Lift up your voice and pray. Lord, raise me as a savior tonight. Lebra kata lege brando shikata kata labrange vivesetaliadai. Ikatam bregedosi in the verin kata labadeina mashiklata balabadayavai.
Please lift up your voice and cry out to God. Lord, raise me as a savior tonight. Lord, raise me as a savior tonight. Lord, raise me as a savior tonight. Father, we give you thanks. We give you praise. That let there be the hearing of faith and the working of miracles tonight. As we behold, cause us to be transformed from glory to glory. Change us from inside out. And let your glory rest upon us. We give you thanks. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's celebrate Jesus as we have our sickness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My brother did a great job in defining who saviors are. I don't know who you are and what you think about yourself. You know the interesting thing with God is that He does not consider your past to determine your future. I know life has not been fair as it might seem. I know the challenges might have been very much. But you know what? Your value has not changed. Your value has not changed. Don't give up on yourself. God has not given up on you yet. Scripture admitted that it's possible for a righteous man to fall 7 times. He said, but he will rise again. Tonight, God is raising saviors and sending them to mountains. Let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 8, verse 19. Please, in the New KJV. The NKJV. Romans chapter 8 and verse 19. Verse 19. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. I always thought that it was creatures that were waiting for my manifestation. But let's read again, please, house. Romans chapter 8 and verse 19. Let's read it together. For the earnest expectation of what? The earnest expectation of what? Not just human beings are waiting for your manifestation. The systems of this world are waiting for your manifestation. It is time for us to arise as saviors to the different mountains that God will be sending us to and shine, for our light has come. Let's open our Bibles to Exodus chapter 17, verse 10 to 11. Hallelujah. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Verse 11, please. Thank you. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Verse 10 said, Moses went where? To the mountain, to the top of the hill. There are some that until they climb the top of the hill, the warriors on the ground will not win the battle. Do you know that the victory might not have been won yet, simply because some of us have decided not to step up to the top of the mountain. Your hand needs to be raised up for the people to prevail. But some of us are like Gideon, hiding in the threshing floor, asking, God, when will you send the saviors? But I have come to tell you, like the angel said, you are the savior. Nigeria and the world at large is in the darkest state. And they are not just waiting, but they are waiting as in pains of childbirth for your manifestation. Asking, God, send our saviors. People look for better methods. God looks for better men. Men are God's method. When God wants to make a man, he brings a man his way. When the devil wants to destroy a man, he brings a man his way. You are God's method. Tell your neighbor, you are God's method. So what are these areas that God is sending us to as saviors? Our Father in the house has taught us over and again, and he has said to us, one of such mountains is the mountain of religion. Let's open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2 to 3. The mountain of religion is the place where our spiritual convictions are made and are formed. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2 to 3. Thank you, media. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Verse 3, please. And many people shall go and say, come here and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his way, and we will work in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And in the last day shall the mountain of the Lord's house be exalted above all hills, and all nations shall do what? Flow to it. You know why? Because darkness is defined as the world without you. Do you remember that we are the light of the world, not the light of the church? This stage that we come and we stand prepares us for the stage of the world. Week in, week out, Daddy comes and keeps equipping us, transforming us to become another man, so that we can go out there and take over the other hills. And that's why scripture said, this mountain, called the mountain of religion, will be exalted above all hills, and every nation shall flow to it. Do you know what God said? Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15. Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 15. He said, and I will give you pastors according to my heart, which will feed you with knowledge and understanding. So one of our targets each time that we come into God's presence is to be fed with knowledge and understanding. Because each time you do not know, you will continue in darkness. That is why God needs saviors in the field, in the mountain of religion. Because he needs to equip the body for the work of the ministry. Some of us, God has been calling us and we have been busy in the line. Say, God, call back later. But remember, Romans chapter 8. Creation is waiting for your manifestation, sir. If you don't rise up, they will continue in pains of childbirth. Hallelujah. The second mountain God is sending us to as saviors is the mountain of family. When a child is born, what do we celebrate? That he's a male or a female. The next question, when they tell you, she has given birth to you, the next question that comes to our mind is what? Is he a boy or is he a girl? But do you know that each time a child is born, destiny is birthed? It's high time we stop celebrating if it's a male or a female and start celebrating destiny. You are the solution and the answer to a question and the problem that exists now. Yes, sir. It's you. It's you, sir. It's you, ma. We are waiting for your manifestation. And that's why God formed you and kept you in a family. You know why? Because the family is where the values of the child is formed. My dad is my mommy's. What are you doing with that child that God has entrusted to your hand? Do you know you are just the custodian of that child? See what God says. Look, Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 22 verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not do what? Thank you so much, house. Do you know most of the flaws we see in the country, in our nation at large, is because some of these children that God entrusted to some parents were not trained in the way of the Lord? Do you know the interesting thing? It is what you train your child that the child will train the next generation. So it's not just about the child. It's about the generations connected to that child. The next mountain we'll be looking at very fast is the mountain of education. Education is where the mindset is shaped and molded. For those of us that have kids, there are times that your child will come and say, "Daddy, that is not how to pronounce that word." Have some of us experienced that? And then you're looking at the child. Where did you learn that from? My auntie in the class told me. Can you see the power that has been entrusted to our teachers? Please, teachers in the house, don't take a teaching job simply because the miracle job you are looking for has not come. Take a teaching job as the privilege God has given you to mold a destiny. You are there to mold destinies. We need saviors in that field, because what they are teaching in some of the schools now is not what we need as the values for our kids. Some of us, God has laid it in our hearts, but you say, "God, it is demeaning. How will I be a teacher and to be cleaning board with chalk?" We need you there. Go and raise men for God. It's not just about the profession, but it's about an assignment. Go with the consciousness that I am on an assignment. Hallelujah. For the mountain of education, we can see that in Daniel chapter 1, verse 4 to 6. The next mountain we'll be looking at is the mountain of arts and entertainment. There are some things that are only given to those who know how to entertain. Have you discovered of late that now called ambassadors? Mark chapter 6 and verse 22. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 6 and verse 22. Kings will always have a way of responding to entertainers. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod, and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatever thou wilt, and I will give it to what? Just by what? Entertaining. Do you know the things that we are exposing our kids to now in the entertainment world is not what they should be seeing? Now, when you ask a child, who is your role model? You know the names they call now? So my question is, where are the Christians that are supposed to be role models to our children that are coming up? You are still at the cave of Adullam? Or you are at the threshing floor saying, God, when are you going to send the Savior? The next mountain is the mountain of politics and government. Acts chapter 3, verse 8 to 9. Daniel chapter 6, from verse 1 to 27. Please, when you get back home, take time to read it. There are times that God puts you in positions simply for his name's sake. Don't abuse the privileges God has given you, because those positions are meant for kingdom come. In the mountain of politics and government, that is where policies are made. A time came in the book of Daniel where the king made a proclamation and he said they should not pray for 30 days. Do you know God will send some of us to politics and to governance? Today, God is giving you leadership in different roles you are in. And you are wondering, how come I enter a place and I become a leader all of a sudden? It's because God is training you for the field of politics and government. It's time to arise. It's time to arise. If you have a brother now that is interested in politics, please don't discourage them. The reason why it is hard and it looks as if the devil is not allowing the people that are good to go up is because we don't have enough people that are good that are there. The more the light, the less the darkness. The more the light, the less the darkness. Yes, sir. You can be an agent of change and sit down in an office and make policies that will favor thy kingdom come. The next mountain I will look at very fast is the mountain of media. What is media? Everything about news is media, right? Everything about news is media. Every way that news comes to us is media. But have you discovered now in every way that what is called news is bad news? Do you know we cannot have transformed minds and great nations thinking about the negatives alone? Romans chapter 12 verse 2. Scripture says, let God transform you to another being by changing the way you think. NLT by translation. That's what the KJV will say. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing. Daddy will always tell us that for us to change our mindset, a new and a superior knowledge, information must be introduced into our minds. But do you know what we have now in the media? We have the news we do not want circulating over and over and over again. We need men and women that we go to the media and change that. Do you know what? You cannot change the negative focusing on the negative. When you focus on your weakness, what you have is a strong weakness. But to change the negative, you need to focus on the strength. We need to change what we view in media. And the last, the mountain of business. Men and brethren, God is raising saviors that will be kingdom financiers. One of the reasons God blesses us is for us to be a blessing. One of the reasons God has put that resource in your hand is for you to advance the kingdom. In the next 1 minute, we'll rise up to pray. Lord, give me this mountain in Jesus' name. Please rise up on your feet and let's pray. Lord, give me this mountain that you have sent me to. and help me to take over this mountain. Pray in the Holy Ghost.
Are we praying? Give me this mountain, O God. Jesus. Give us this mountain, O God. Father. Hallelujah. Please, you can have your seat. God bless you. Thank you. My brother has done a very good job explaining to us the seven mountains of influences that we need to possess as saviors. Hallelujah. Please, can we read Joshua chapter 14, verse 12? Joshua 14, verse 12. Please read. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. I've come to tell us that although we are to take these mountains, there are giants on those mountains. There are forces, there are principalities, there are powers, there are gates. Caleb said there are Anakims. Anakims are the giants. Forces of darkness sitting on these mountains to ensure that nothing that looks like God comes close to those mountains. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 told us, say, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are going to take this mountain. We are. But God calls us as we are, but God cannot send us as we are. Let's check Matthew chapter 4 verse 8. Matthew 4 verse 8. Please read. Again, the devil taketh him up to an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Next verse. And said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. This is the devil talking to Jesus. He said, Lord, he said, see, these kingdoms belong to me. Till today, the devil is still making that proposition, that these mountains belong to him, and that before they are taken, one must bow to him. But oh, come on, saviors are rising. We will not bow. And we are going to take those mountains. However, passion and desire is not enough. Acts chapter 19 verse 4 showed us the seven sons of Sceva. They saw a man possessed. They wanted to deliver him, but they were not ready. The demons asked, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you? That was the same question they asked Moses. Moses was not prepared. Moses had known that God will deliver Israel with his hands, but he was not trained yet. So he saw an Egyptian dealing with an Israel. He went to kill him. But then they asked him, who are you to come and separate us? Who sent you? This is the question this gate will always ask. Who are you? Remember Psalms 24 verse 7. Where somebody said, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up your everlasting doors. Those gates have voices. They responded.
They said, who is this King of Glory? They will always ask questions. You can't just come and take this mountain. Who is this King of Glory? Who is this Savior coming to take this mountain? So I've come to share with us the making process of saviors. God will take men and women from all kinds of walks of life, and God will transform their life and send them as saviors. There's always a school, a making process God takes saviors through. And I want to quickly show us the making process. The first point I will speak about in the making process of saviors is a call to the secret place. The call to the secret place. Matthew chapter 4 verse 19. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. This is Jesus speaking. Speaking to ordinary men that had no background, that had no education. He said, follow me. There's something I will do to you, and you will become something, fishers of men. Mark chapter 3, verse 14. Mark 3:14. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. So this is God's strategy. When God calls a man, he calls that man first to himself before sending him. Praise God. This is because God must reveal himself to that man. It's called intimacy. Hallelujah. God is not only interested in the assignment, God is also interested in the person. So God will call that man, that woman, and God will begin to train and form and reveal himself to him. Like God did to Moses. God disguised something for Moses, like God is doing for many of us. Let's read Exodus chapter 3. I'm going to quickly run through Exodus chapter 3, please. From verse 1 to 4, media. Thank you. Exodus 3, verse 1. Exodus 3, verse 1. And now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. The next verse. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Verse 4. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, can we please see what's happening here? God disguised something for Moses. A bush was burning but was not consumed. Moses was just walking casually, but he saw that bush. But the Bible says immediately Moses turned aside, and God was watching. When God saw that Moses turned aside, God has been waiting for many of us. Just turn. God is saying, turn. Through dreams, through visions, through sermons. We listen to sermons like this and they say, fire in us. God is saying, turn. Just turn aside. It's a call. God was monitoring Moses. Just turn aside. And immediately God called Moses. And God told him, Moses, pull your shoe. You see, this is something God always does with men. You must pull your shoe. Your shoe represents your experiences, your past, the things you have known. Moses, pull it. I'm about to take you into something new. Pull it. Pull your shoe. There's something you have known about God. I want to reveal myself to you. And God did. God told him, I revealed myself as the Lord to your fathers. But I'm revealing myself to you as Yahweh. There are dimensions of God that we don't know yet. But maybe there's somebody in the crowd that God is looking for to reveal that dimension to us. Without Moses, we would not have known a dimension called Yahweh. Without you, we may not know a dimension in God. We are waiting for you in the secret place. Go! That place where God makes men, where God reveals himself, because what you know about God matters. We're not just going to take those mountains, we are going to represent him on those mountains. So go, we edit our knowledge of him. Remember the man with talents, with one talent. What did he say? He said, I know that you are a hard man. He had the wrong perspective of his master. That was the only reason why he went to hid it. So God said, I'm going to re-edit what you know of me in the secret place. In the secret place, the place of koinonia. Oh, and we're in koinonia. Come on. Where God communes. You see, communion is not communication. Communication is mouth to mouth and ear to ear. Communion is heart to heart. There's something God wants to show us. The Bible said, the secrets of the Lord are with them that fear him. And he will show them his covenant. First Corinthians tells us, he says, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither have we entered into the heart of any man the things God has prepared for them that love him. The secret place. Before I continue, can I just pray and say, Father, please take me to the secret place. For some of us, God has been calling us, come, come. There's a resonance in our spirit. Some of us went, but we left. But God is saying, come and stay. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Lord shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. Like the scripture I just shared, God has secrets. Not only men have secrets, God himself has secrets. There are some secrets that some men have, not even their wives know. There are some secrets some people have, not even their parents know. But Bible is telling us that even God himself has secrets. Oh my God. What will become of a man that now knows the secrets of God? And that's what Job said in Job chapter 29. He said, like in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was up. No wonder Job was a mighty man. He called God and God came. He had secrets. It's in the secret place, that place of communion and koinonia, where God speaks heart to heart. The Bible says, cast your cares upon the Lord. There are some of us, God wants to cast his cares upon us. We have burdens. God has burdens too. God doesn't like bondage or oppression. God never likes it. From scripture, God is always moved. The Bible said, I search for a man. God always looks for men. So if we see bondage persist, it's not because God is not looking at that bondage. God is looking at it, but he's looking for a man. And can I tell you something, my brothers and sisters? The Bible said, for ye know your calling, that not many mighty men, not many choice men, the Bible said, God will choose the weak things of this world to confound the wise. So you may be here saying, I don't have an education. I stopped in SS3. I'm just a farmer. I just came to, I don't know anything. Come like that and go, come and God will make you. The secret place. God is still making men. In scripture we see all kinds of men God made. Esther, Moses, Peter. Peter a fisherman. But when Jesus was done with him, his shadow was healing the sick. God is in the business of training men. Irrespective of their background, it doesn't matter. The second point I would like to share that happens in this. I'm still talking about the secret place. The second thing that happens in the secret place is encounters. Encounters. Encounters are experiences that furnish the reality of a thing in us. This is one thing God does in the secret place. God will give that man such an encounter that will build his faith and convictions. Before God sent Moses, God gave him encounters. Throw your rod, Moses. It turned to snake. Put your hands in your bow, and it became leprous. God was doing these things to him to build his conviction, so that when Moses stands before Pharaoh, that wizard, he can look that, oh yes, in the secret place I met him. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, please. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 2. 2 Corinthians 12, 2. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I still cannot tell. God knows it. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. The next verse. And I knew such a man. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows it. Next verse. How that he was caught up into paradise. And he heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. How can a man hear something that it will be unlawful for him to say? Encounters. It builds faith and convictions. Our fathers taught us that there are three basic encounters a man must have. Because supernatural encounters can be misjudged and can be influenced by the devil. So he said that you must have an encounter with Jesus, salvation, an encounter with the Holy Spirit beyond speaking in tongues, and an encounter with the Word. Encounters are powerful. Ah, my God. Father, please give us encounters. The third thing that happened in the secret place is purpose discovery. Who are you can be answered. When they ask us, who are you? They're not saying, what is your name? Who are you goes far beyond what is your name. What do you carry? What makes you you? We don't know ourselves. Hi, you don't know yourself. If God can show you yourself, you will run. You carry what we feed the nations. You carry mantles for generations. We carry a lot of things, but we don't know. Go to the secret place and find out who you are. No man walks with God and walks out of purpose. No man. No man walks with God and walks out of purpose. Because God is the manufacturer. God is the creator. God made you, so God knows what you are made of. So when you go to him, he can lead you and say, come, let me show you. Hallelujah. Praise God. The last point I will share before we pray in the making of saviors is mentorship and transformation. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. An anointed man with a wrong mindset will only do much. But an anointed man with a healthy mindset will do better. Mindsets, our belief systems, our ideologies is what makes us. We make decisions based on what we have. Based on what we think. So as saviors, we need to submit ourselves to mentorship and training, where our ideologies are changed and renewed, so we can see things from God's perspective, so we can see things from the lens of God. Please, can we rise as we pray? This making process may seem simple, but you need grace. They are going to pray and say, Father, the grace to pass through this making process, please give to me. Some people started, but they couldn't finish. Something happened along the way, and they missed it. But Father, that staying power, that grace to remain, that grace to remain, so that your powerful hand can work on me. Give to me, oh God. Can we pray?
Somebody's praying tonight. Lord, make me and train me. Make me into a savior. Somebody pray with passion tonight. Let your passion be on the display. Lord, make me and train me. Lord, I've realized that I need your training. I acknowledge that I need your help. I open up my heart and I submit myself to mentorship. I submit myself to your dealings. I submit myself to your training. Lord, make me. Grant me grace for staying power in the secret place. Grant me grace to submit myself to the dealings of your spirit. Grant me grace to submit myself on common mentorship. Grant me grace, Lord. Somebody's praying tonight. Lord, I submit myself for your training and for your making. Your word says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Lord, as I follow you, make me. Grant me grace never to turn to the right or to the left, but to keep following you. Make me, Lord. Train me, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. I'd like us to please take our seats in God's awesome presence. Can we celebrate the grace of God in the house tonight? Hallelujah. It has been a very, very beautiful night as my brothers and sisters shared and also led us in prayer. We've learned a lot about saviors, who a savior is. A savior is a deliverer. A savior is that one that is called to rescue those that are oppressed. And we also saw examples in Moses, examples in David. We've also learned tonight that those saviors don't just have a definition of deliverers. They are also going to be sent to a mountain. And we learned about the seven mountains. Arts and entertainment, finance, politics and government, family, religion, education, and the likes. We've also learned the making process of saviors. Those saviors that are being made will not be sent until they have been empowered. We've learned time and again that the greatest need of a believer is transformation. Transformation takes place in that secret place of making and training and raising and mentorship. But that transformed believer needs to be empowered before he will be released into his mountain. So after going through a season of transformation, you need to tarry till you are empowered. Jesus spoke to the disciples in Luke 24 verse 49. He said to them, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until... 49 I said, please. Luke 24 verse 49. It says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Empowerment is critical. Obadiah 1:21, which is the theme of tonight's meeting. Obadiah 1:21. It says, and saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. So the rise of saviors upon Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau is to the intent that the kingdom may become the Lord's. The Bible says in Revelation 11, the B part of verse 15b, it says, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. So for the kingdoms of this world, the mountains, for them to bow the knee to the Messiah, for them to submit to the principles of Jesus Christ, these saviors that have been called, that have been separated and consecrated, that have been trained, raised and mentored, need to be empowered before being released to the mountains. They need empowerment. Don't forget, kingdom advancement, like we have been taught, is any and every scriptural mechanism deployed to establish the reign, lordship, and influence of Jesus Christ in the hearts of men and across every strata of human activities. So for there to be advancement of the kingdom, there must be an enforcement, an establishment of the principles of Jesus Christ, the reign of Jesus Christ, the influence of Jesus Christ in the hearts of men, and also on these mountains. We've heard time and again that evangelism is very needed in the church. But for the gospel of the kingdom to be preached, it must be married with influence. Evangelism and influence. So when souls are won, there also needs to be influence on those mountains. Influence of the church. Influence of the principles of the doctrines of Christ. Hallelujah. We can see in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. Matthew chapter 10 verse 1. It says, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. These saviors must be empowered. David had men gathered unto himself in 1 Samuel 22 verse 1 and 2. The Bible says these men were in debt, they were in distress, they were discontented. But by the time these men went through David's school of ministry, they had turned out to be mighty men. By 2 Samuel 23 verse 8, these men were giant slayers. One of these men took an arrow, a spear, and killed 800 men at once. One of them was defending an entire territory. The entire army came back to meet spoils. This man went through David's school of ministry. I dare say, some of us have gone through Koinonia school of ministry, and we are not the same again. I'd like us to celebrate the name of the Lord and the grace of God upon this house. Somebody is saying, why do I need empowerment? Why do I need to enforce God's will with power? I'd like you to know something happened in heaven. In Revelation 12 verse 7. Something happened in heaven. Revelation 12 verse 7 says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. This dragon was not fighting to lose. If there can be an outbreak of war in heaven, imagine what will be going on the mountains on earth. This dragon contended for a place in heaven. He wasn't fighting to lose. So who were the people that cast off this dragon? It wasn't God. The angels that were loyal to God, that had been raised by the Lord, created by the Lord, were the ones that dismissed the dragon. So God is counting on you and I as saviors to rise up and take our place. In family, in governance, in business, in politics, in religion, in education, in arts, in entertainment. God is counting on you and I to rise up, be loyal to God, raised by the Lord, trained by the Lord, and empowered by the Lord before we are released into those territories. Hallelujah. The Bible says in that same Matthew 10, verse 7. Matthew 10, verse 7. As ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The next verse, please. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. These things don't happen by explanation. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:20, the kingdom of God is not in word only, but in power. It takes power to cast out devils. It takes power to heal the sick. It takes power to raise the dead. It takes power to establish the throne of God in the hearts of men. It takes power to model the life of Christ in this kind of world. To be a light in a dark world. It takes power. It takes empowerment. It takes empowerment. And the greater the anointing, the greater the empowerment, the greater the ease of the result. The greater the empowerment, the greater the personal and the corporate results you begin to get. The greater the anointing, the easier it will be to take those territories. So how does this empowerment come? How does this anointing rest? It comes in response to the finished works of Jesus Christ. And that's why my brother did a thorough job in you submitting yourself to training in the secret place. It also comes in response to the strength of your secret place. Your secret place has to be on fire for God. Your secret place has to be flaming with grace, flaming with revelation, flaming with glory. When you get into that boardroom, you are inspired of the Lord to profess solutions, bring forth superior ideologies that will bring solutions to the challenges that men are facing. In education, you're able to profess solutions. You're able to become a role model by empowerment. Hallelujah. Amen. It's so important for these saviors that have been raised, mentored, to be empowered. Let me quickly say something here. There was a certain man that was about to be anointed in the Bible. In 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16 verse 7. God had sent Samuel to go to the house of Jesse. And when Samuel got there, Samuel looked at Eliab, the firstborn of Jesse. And he said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. And he was about to pour oil on Eliab. God said something very, very important for us to take note of. Let's look at verse 7. First Samuel, look at it. He says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. God could have just said, he is not the one. Like he said with other brothers. For the other brothers, if you read down the scripture, it just says, it's not the one. Neither is it the one. But for Eliab, he said, I have refused him. Could it be that somebody is not experiencing the kind of anointing and empowerment they desire because there is a failure in the secret place? Before you can reject or refuse a person, you must have considered the person. So God considered Eliab for an ordination, but possibly there was a failure. There was a defect. There were things that he didn't adhere to. There were things God was calling him to look into, but he didn't focus on them. Are there people here tonight that are saying, God, empower me. God, anoint me. Empower me like apostle. Empower me for signs and wonders. But you're not focusing on the secret place like my brother dealt with. The secret place is important. That's the place of the making of men. And this empowerment comes in response to the strength of your secret place. It comes in response to your commitment to live by the word of God. It comes in response to your honor of those who are carriers of that anointing. It comes in honor to a life of holiness and consecration. Hallelujah. Let me quickly show you something that happened with our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 7, from verse 11, Jesus was going into a city, the city of Nain. And as he entered into the city, verse 12, please, he went in with much crowd. Now, when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. This woman had much people following her. She had been attacked on the mountain called the Mountain of Family. Our husband was dead. Now our only son was now dead. The male factor in her life was being attacked. And she was left with nothing. All her defense systems were attacked and brought down. But the Savior walked in just in time. When the Savior walked in, when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. That's the job of Saviors. To cleanse the tears of those crying. To bring comfort to those that are mourning. To bring healing to them that are sick. To bring solution to problems. To bring illumination to the paths of men. To bring supply to where it's lacking. Verse 14. And he came and touched the bear. And they that bear him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. The Savior showed up in time. But the Savior didn't say that without empowerment. You can't just say to a dead man to rise up if you are not empowered to do so. It takes empowerment to deliver men. It takes empowerment to rescue people. It takes empowerment. Hallelujah. Let me quickly share with us a story of a woman that was also attacked like that in this same mountain of family. This woman is a doctor. True life story. She was awakened in the night. Her husband wasn't around. She had three sons. And then she went to the room of her sons like she would usually do and just, you know, tried to just run some routine checks. And then she noticed one of them was not moving very well. Was not moving at all, I beg your pardon. And then just paid more attention to him, ran some vitals on him and realized the guy's pulse was no more. The boy's heartbeat was gone. And to her shock, this boy that was not sick, that was not warm, that had nothing that looked like he was sick, was dead in the middle of the night. This woman was about to shout for help, but she remembered the things that she had been taught on the mountain of religion. How that you can call upon the name of the Lord and he will answer. And he carried the other two sons out of the room and locked herself up with that boy in that room and began to pray, began to call upon the Lord. She prayed the first hour. She prayed the second hour. I'm sure this woman had learned how to pray previously before that time. The third hour, she was still praying and calling upon the Lord. And suddenly she went into a trance. While she was in the trance, she was before the Lord Jesus. And the Lord began to talk to her that when you get back, you're going to set up this institution. You're going to set up this one for women. You're going to start up this association. You're going to begin to do this in this sphere. And the Lord began to give her instructions, different things about what she was to do next. No single talk about the boy. As the woman came out of the trance, this boy that she was calling upon the Lord for was sitting now smiling and looking into her eyes. Hallelujah! We have been taught time and again by our Father. You will face real life situations. And these situations don't respond to English. They don't respond to phonetics. They don't respond to explanation. They will demand you to have power to be able to respond to them adequately. Is somebody rising up tonight, please? I'd like you to rise up tonight. And say, Father, in the name of Jesus, let fresh fire come upon my altar. In the name of Jesus, endue me with power. In the name of Jesus, Lord, let fresh fire fall upon my altar. I will never be the same again. Let your fire, let your power rest upon my life, rest upon my altar. Somebody's crying for fresh fire. Lord, fresh fire upon my secret place. Fresh power upon my life. I will never be the same again. As I go back, my prayer life is on fire. My word study is on fire. Meditation is on fire. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Very quickly, I would like us to quickly pray. There are perceptible and imperceptible losses. When Kish, Saul's father, lost an ass, it was a perceptible loss. He could see it. But there are losses you cannot perceive. The Bible says, Samson shook himself as at other times. But he did not know that the Spirit of God had departed from him. Some of us have made losses. We don't even know about them. Loss of grace. Loss of anointing. Loss of empowerment. Because of maybe possibly carelessness or indiscipline. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, restore every loss. In the name of Jesus. Somebody's praying tonight. Every loss in the secret place, perceptible and imperceptible losses, restore tonight. Restore my fire. Restore grace. Restore honor. Lord, restore dignity. Restore passion for the word. Restore lost fire. Passion for soul winning. Passion to walk in integrity. Passion to walk in holiness. Restore every loss. Restore every loss. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we are prayed. Real quickly tonight, I'd like you to know that the greatest need of a believer is to be transformed. And that of the transformed believer is to be empowered. But the greatest need of an unsaved person is to meet Jesus Christ and be born again. If you have not made Jesus your Lord, tonight is your night. Don't go home and say, I will do it when I get home. And there are other people. You need to rededicate your life to Christ. You perceive that you've lost so much, you need to make Jesus your Lord publicly again. Don't forget, Jesus said, whoever is ashamed before me in the sight of men, I will also be ashamed before that one, before my Father and his holy angels. Jesus died on the cross publicly. Somebody tonight, I'd like you to make your way forward. You want to make Jesus Christ your Lord. You want to rededicate your life to Christ. This is your moment. This is your moment. I'd like you to make your way forward. Make your way forward. The Lord has been talking to you in the course of the service. And you want to surrender your life to Christ. Don't wait there. Keep coming. Keep coming. Church, can we celebrate them as they walk forward? Keep coming. You want to make Jesus your Lord. Tonight is your night. Tonight is your night. Jesus died on the cross publicly. Come and shame the devil here tonight. Come and make Jesus your Lord and Savior. In the overflows, wherever you are, walk to the front of your stage. Come and surrender your life to Christ tonight. Come and make it right with the saving Lord. Come and make it right with Jesus tonight. Somebody is shaming the devil tonight. If somebody is saying that I'm not sure, then you need to make it sure tonight. You need to make it certain tonight. I'd like you to walk forward all the way to the screen. If you're online, you can make Jesus your Lord. This is your moment. This is your moment. Church, can we celebrate them? Hallelujah. The Bible says, for every soul that turns to the Lord, there is joy in heaven. Can we celebrate the Lord? Hallelujah. If you're still coming, you can make your way forward before we get through praying. But if you're standing in front, I'd like you to please place your right hand on your chest. This is a very precious moment. The Lord Jesus is here. I'd like you to say, Lord Jesus. Say it with the whole of your heart. The Bible says, with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Say, Lord Jesus, I love you with all my heart. Today, I believe that you died for me. You were buried and you were raised for my justification. Today, I confess you are my Lord and my Savior. I receive eternal life and the gift of righteousness. In the name of Jesus, I declare that I am justified and the blood of Jesus washes away my sins. I receive strength and grace to follow you for the rest of my life. Thank you, Father. I am born again. I am a new creation. All things are passed away. All things have become new. Shout hallelujah! Church, can we rejoice for these wonderful people that are receiving the life of God tonight? Please, I'd like you to turn to your left, my own right. There are counselors waving the flag. I'd like you to please just follow them. They just want to take your details and you will join us shortly. We'll be praying for you. The Lord is your strength. God bless you. Can we celebrate them as they walk off the stage? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are there saved us in the house tonight?
Are there some of us in the house tonight? Someone say, Saviors! Saviors! In 1 minute, can we lift up our voices to bless the name of our God? Bless His holy name. He is worthy to be praised. Let's thank Him for a wonderful service. Father, be exalted. Be glorified, Heavenly Father. Be exalted. In Jesus' name we pray. You may be seated. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. I've come up here to perform a very special function, and that is to thank everyone that has made today a success. Today has been wonderful, and because of this set of people, Koniana, can you just celebrate yourself, please? Thank you so much. So on behalf of the students of Koniana School of Ministry, I thank every one of you for coming out. Those here present and those online, thank you. Your presence is indeed an honor to us. Thank you for honoring us. God bless you in Jesus' name. Can we celebrate our team of ministers? Today they have blessed us. They will need a great blessing. Thank you, sirs. Thank you, ma. Those that led prayer, those that gave the word, God bless you. God bless you. In extension, can we thank every student? Every student performing different functions in different departments. From here, down it overflows. Thank you so much. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Join me to thank the heads of department of Koinonia. They work behind the scenes to make this a success. Thank you for opening your doors unto us. Thank you for teaching us, for showing us what to do. We are so grateful. God bless you. And to our instructors. Thank you, sir. All the way from Zaria, they gave their time, sacrificed their resources, and they came to teach us, to make sure we know Christ. Thank you so much. Koinonia, can we join me to thank our Father, our mentor, for 6 months to be under his tutelage. He has been teaching us, he has poured out himself unto us, showed us his scars and how vulnerable things can be. Thank you, Daddy. We are so grateful. Koinonia, above all, can we thank our Maker, the Almighty, the Most Excellent, the Creator, the Alpha, the Omega, the I Am. He made this day possible. Thank you, Father. We glorify your holy name. Be praised. Be praised in Jesus' name. It's a privilege for me to perform this task. Can we join me? Koinonia, can we together in honor welcome and celebrate as we come to this pulpit our Father and our mentor, the Apostle Joshua Selman. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good evening, everybody. Let's celebrate our School of Ministry students. Just one or two words.